Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today we are very fortunate to be joined by the legendary USA Hockey coach Lou Vero, who is the director of special projects here at USA Hockey. Hey Lou, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome, Harry.
Lou, we've been doing a series of podcasts on the American development model, you know, how it started, what it's been doing, and how it's going to help hockey in the United States with kids at all ages. I want to just get some of your thoughts. You've been around a long time and have seen a lot of things going on with the sport of hockey. What's your thoughts on the American development model?
My thoughts are very positive. Having said that, there's room for change. There's room for it'll evolve. Everything evolves. I was just out in Long Island this past weekend and participated in a coaching seminar and a ADM demonstration on the ice. And I can see how it will further evolve and become even better with input from our coaches, parents, and players, and executives of hockey leagues, youth hockey leagues around the country in time to become even better. The thing is, everything takes time. These concepts, ideas are outstanding, but they're not new, and they've been around a long time. And I remember in the coaching program, my first job with USA Hockey was to inherit the coaching program from Ken Johansson, and who was purely a volunteer and couldn't put the time in that was necessary in 1978 when I was first hired. And if you compare it then to now, it's just evolved into a magnificent program, but it takes time. It's become age-specific, which is extremely important and something that I've championed for 30 years. But we're getting there now. With the modern technology, we can bring this on the computer, iPhone, right to everybody at any time.
You know, Lou, you're talking, you spent some time with the ADM guys down in New York, which is where you're from. Do the parents and coaches, I mean, was the feedback generally good? Do they generally like the ADM, or do we still have a long way to go in selling the program at the grassroots level?
First of all, the people that have been assembled, from Kenny Martell to all the instructors, are exceptional people. They're completely committed to hockey. Their lives revolve around hockey. And they're knowledgeable, they're experienced, and they're passionate. I love all the people we have. So I think that's in itself going to be a great vehicle to bring the message. Some parents will be against it. Some coaches will be against it. Look, there's people against everything in life. Doesn't matter. And people that are skeptical. You can walk up to someone in the street and hand them a check for $1,000. They'll be afraid to take it because they'll think there's something fishy about it. A lot of people will. So life is like that, patience. That's the key word, patience. If you know what you're doing is right, then you move forward with it and have no fear. And it's even okay to fail sometimes, but it's not okay never to try and explore new ways to make something better.
What I wanted to talk to you about, too, is that we have so many, you alluded to this, we have so much great materials out there now, and the means of distributing it to the masses through email and the computer and all those things are great. But, I mean, on your desk, I mean, I've seen brochures where from the 1970s where you've done a lot of these types of things, a lot of cross-ice drills, station-based practices. And so, like you said before, none of this is really new, is it?
No, I mean, I first saw cross-ice hockey in the 60s in St. Catharines, Ontario. Famous old coach by the name of Vic Teal, Pop Teal. Saturday mornings, he'd have all the little kids in the community playing three games at once across the ice. That was really the first time I saw it. I later saw it in Europe, and every hockey, developing hockey nation of Europe, their rinks are a little bigger, so it's even more apropos. I think it's a wonderful way to train players, to allow kids to touch the puck. In fact, when I ran it often with little kids, because I did coach at every level of hockey, I'd have six lightweight pucks on the ice and alternate the position of goal in small nets, the ice in thirds, and we'd play across ice. And kids don't care what. They're not worried about breakout plays or anything idiotic like that. They want to have fun and play hockey. And in order to play hockey, there's no better teacher than pond hockey. And that's really what it is. It's pond hockey. The greatest players in the world grew up starting and developing on rivers and ponds and outside rinks. It's a great program, and I did it with professionals too. I would, especially if you practice twice a day, morning would be dedicated to small area games, cross-ice games at high speed. You know, Tarasov told me once, the greatest single thing they do in the Soviet Union, at the time it was not Russia, but Soviet Union, greatest thing we do for skill development is we play in small areas at high speed with obstacles, be it bodies, or maybe I'll push a goal around while this little game is going on, or I may put cones or something, tires on the ice, the players have to avoid it. And again, I'll repeat it, and this is for parents and coaches and players. High speed competition or drills in small areas. And the other thing I like about games is there's a winner and a loser. And when there's a score, it's very important to develop competitiveness. And nobody, don't give me any of that stuff. It's not fun. Of course it's fun. We're not talking life and death. It's just fun. That's why there's scoreboards. I know whenever I play anything, I want to win. And I want to know what, I want a result. But not at the expense of having fun and enjoying it and making it a wholesome experience. So competitive games will make them play harder and faster. And if they're in a small area, they'll become better.
So getting back to the brochures that you created back in the 1970s, how did you create those things? And how long did it take you to do those? Because I know at the time, you know, there's not really computers and all that stuff. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you made those?
I went to Hal Trumbull, executive director. There were four of us working here at USA Hockey. I said, Hal, I want to put out brochures for every age group specific for off-ice training. In fact, I have one in front of me here, just if I may. We talked about, this is just for mites. At that time, eight and under, we called it a developmental guide. The objectives were simple: enjoyable introduction and experience in ice hockey. Provide a healthy environment for fun and learning. Teach the basic fundamental skills. Stress participation, fun, and skill development. Development of communication at the player's level of learning. Introduction to games and player achievement program. Then it goes on and it covers physical preparation, psychological, technical, equipment needed, recommended programs, an ethical guide for the coach, for the parents, and for the players, how they should behave, what's expected of each. And it's very interesting, on ice and off ice, and it's got many of the aspects that ADM is now actively utilizing. And this was not me alone. I put it together, yes. But I formed a committee that met twice in 6 months. And it was fascinating. And some of the people on that committee, and they were active, were a child psychologist. Some of the noted names, Bob Johnson, Dave Peterson, Jeff Sauer, Gus Hendrickson, Herb Brooks, Tim Taylor, etc. But we also had some youth coaches. We wanted their input. We had some parents on that committee. We had no money, so we only had two meetings ever. And besides, they didn't vote the way I liked once time, so I broke it up. I exterminated the committee. But the arguments that took place were fascinating, and the discussions. So some of that material came from the benefit of having those great minds working in hockey. And I went around Europe. That's influenced by, there's no question, Tarasov, Koska, Horsky, Chernyshev, great European coaches, Bukac. Some of the things I learned over the years from them are reflected in that. And I thought it was a really good way to go, but again, we had no money. I mean, all the brochures that we sent out across the country cost us the entire production of that, shipping, printing them, distributing them, everything, was less than $5,000. The artwork, less than $5,000, and I'm sure it had something to do with the development of our hockey in the last 30 years. You know, Harry, when I came to work at USA Hockey, I'm stealing this line from Kevin Allen, but it's a great line. We had more men, the United States of America had more men on the moon than we had in the National Hockey League. So we have come a long, long way, and I attribute it to lots of things. Expansion of the NHL, our developmental camps, our coaching program, our officiating, all our programs. And they just keep getting better and better. Our great volunteers who work really hard. But one of the key things, we did a survey. I didn't do it, but Gary Fay, my predecessor, by 6 months, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to coach, so he resigned. That's when I got hired. But Gary did a survey trying to find out who's coaching our kids. And he had about 100 returns from across the country, but didn't matter what age group or what area of the country. I'd say 85% of the coaches never played hockey. They were just parents involved because of their kids, and their longevity was 2 to 3 years. So we knew we had to do something in coaching. And I look out today, I see the people doing ADM. I see the people coaching in all the programs across our country now, mostly are former players. People say to me, why does USA Hockey support Division II, III universities, all this? They're not elite players. Well, they're not bad players. But the big thing is most of them are going to come back and coach. And they have a lot of experience playing the game. And that's what's happening now for boys hockey. And it's beginning to happen in the diversity programs. And it's happening in women's hockey. Former players are now coaching. And I think that's a good thing for our country. I think they need to be able to skate and demonstrate and have a feeling for the game that, you know, I was not a good player, but I did play every day. I think that helps in communicating the game to the kids.
Well, you know, Lou, I don't know. I mean, with all the information that's out about the American Development Model and youth hockey and everything that USA Hockey's doing that's so exciting, it all started somewhere, and it started with people like yourself and Art Berglund and obviously Dave Peterson and Bob Johnson. So thank you for everything that you've done for the game, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome. And of course, you mentioned great names, but every single person in every community that floods a rink, warms a warming house, drives a Zamboni, scrapes the ice with the shovel, every parent, every volunteer, every paid employee, all have contributed greatly and continue to, and it's only going to get better. And let's not forget another thing, and I'd like everybody out there to hear this. We have great leadership at USA Hockey, from the president to the executive director, to our executive committee, to our board of directors. These really are terrific people. And mind you, I've had my battles with probably every one of them. But I sure respect them and appreciate what my colleagues have done, and those who came before us deserve, thank you, Harry, they deserve a real tip of the hat. The greats like Coach Kelly and Mariucci, and it goes on and on and on. And all the unknown people who just stayed in their communities gave much to the game. So thank you.
All right. And thanks, everybody out there, for listening. And hope you'll tune in next time for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.